We have something else happening locally at our own city jail last night. Becky, you actually wrote a press release about it. Steve Argue, the activist who is actually a homeless activist himself, he was arrested more than a year ago, for the crime of selling street newspapers, Street Spirit, without a license, when in fact 2 months before the police chief had apologized to another vendor for making the same kind of arrest, but apparently his officers hadn't gotten the message. And Argue is arrested, thrown into jail, actually brutalized, thrown on the sidewalk, held for 4 days, and then released with no apologies. And he then, I guess, on May 22nd, was arrested with other people at the protest against the bombing of Yugoslavia at the McPherson Center, a peaceful but boisterous protest that police turned violent when they attacked a crowd of people surrounding a police van, because an individual in the police van had been arrested by police, Goling Lau, later charged with nothing, but people wanted to know why she was being hauled off. Police officer David Lefevre attacked Julianne and her child, her five-year-old child, at which point Steve Argue intervened and punched the police officer. He was convicted of felony assault on a police officer in October, and I guess began serving a term in November in the Santa Cruz County Jail of 9 months. And yesterday something happened around that.
Right. I'm going to read a press release that is titled, Steve Argue Beaten by Three Santa Cruz County Jail Guards.
Go ahead.
On Saturday, January 29th, 2000, Steve Argue called from the Santa Cruz County Jail, where he had been held in solitary confinement since December 23rd. Steve reported that three guards had just assaulted him. Quote, I had just finished my lunch. I got up and called for the guard to ask him about getting an hour out of my cell. Deputy Samora came over and verbally abused me. Then he called two other guards in to assist him. Argue says he was ordered to get down on his knees on his mattress, then ordered to put his hands behind his back to be handcuffed. Then he was beaten. Samora grabbed Argue by the hair and smashed his head against the wall. Afterwards, Argue's wrists were severely bruised. All along his leg is bruised, and he is experiencing the symptoms of a concussion. It is unknown if Argue has received medical attention. And I might say that when this was written last night, we didn't know, and here it is, almost 1 o'clock, almost 24 hours after this assault, and we still don't know if he's gotten any medical attention. Argue believes the beating is due to his request on Friday for a complaint form, which he has still not received. Argue intended to complain he had not been receiving the food items he had ordered from commissary. He says the food portions are so small in the Santa Cruz County Jail, prisoners go hungry unless they can buy extra food from the commissary. Steve Argue is in solitary confinement for refusing to give up a blanket. Quote, prisoners only have two blankets issued to them. They are not enough. During the winter months, prisoners are suffering from mild hypothermia. A prison guard had given Argue three blankets. When they came to take it away, he refused to give it back. That's the third blanket. He was thrown into a cell for 23 hours a day. He has used the time to study botany. Supporters have been gathering signatures on a petition for more blankets for prisoners and to end the solitary confinement of Steve Argue. Blank petitions sent to the prisoners to circulate inside the jail were returned unopened. Argue is serving a 9-month sentence for a felony conviction from a single punch to the nose of Santa Cruz Police Department Officer Dave Lefevre to stop him from twisting the arm of a woman holding a small child at an anti-war demonstration last May 22nd. Okay, now, I'm going to give some numbers, and we're asking people to call these numbers and
get out your pencils, folks.
Yes, express your concern about Steve Argue getting beat up by three guards in his jail cell yesterday afternoon.
That's our jail, folks. That's right down
the
road.
Santa Cruz County Jail.
Right across from the county building.
Uh-huh. The one we own, right?
Actually, it owns us.
I really suggest people call Sheriff Mark Tracy. He is really the top banana. You know, he's in charge of the jail. What happens there it's, you know, his desk. He's the one responsible.
And a slippery banana he is.
Yeah, and so people should call area code 831-471-1170. And if you want to fax this fellow, he's at 454-2353.
Give us the phone number again.
471-1170.
That's for Mark Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a local call, folks.
Yes, and you want to, this is what we suggest you ask or demand. I say demand. I mean, this sounds serious to me. Demand to know what he is going to do about Deputy Samora and the other two deputies. You can call the Santa Cruz County Jail at 454-2420, or you could call Jail Supervisor Sergeant Bui, that's B-U-I-E, at 454-2444.
And if any of these numbers you weren't able to get down, you can always give a call to, I guess, to you, Becky, at 423-HUFF.
That's correct.
423-4833. I know you were out there last night in front of the jail with a group of protesters ranging from 10 to 16 at different times, and you tried to get a response from the jail. I guess a sergeant who was in charge of the jail came out at one moment, but then saw your camera.
After a very long wait and many, many phone calls and some negotiations through Sergeant Goodwin at the Santa Cruz Police Department, who called the jail and made arrangements for, I think it was Deputy Hall or
Sergeant Hall,
to come and speak with us about the incident. And we got to the jail, and when he came out, and the first thing he did was he demanded that we pick one person to that he would speak to. So we had to choose someone, and so we picked Ben, who was the one who had taken the phone call from Steve when he was finally able to get to a telephone, and Ben took the collect call from jail, basically. With the report.
And he was unable to get in because they saw your camera and they shoved him out the door.
We said, why only one person and inside, you know, that's kind of arbitrary. And he said, oh, that's it. And he shoved Ben's face out, slammed the door shut, and walked off and refused to meet with us.
He promised to reappear but never did, as far as I've been told. I know we also contacted Councilmember Catherine Byers on the phone, who kind of threw up her hands, wrung her hands some more, and said, well, there's nothing I can do, refused to contact Supervisor Marty Wormhout.
She claimed that she had no way of contacting Supervisor Marty Wormhout, that she doesn't have her home phone.
Since Marty and Catherine Byers are on the same winter shelter emergency hoax group that claims to deal with winter shelter emergency but actually does nothing, I'm sure that they have each other's phone numbers. She was the mayor of Santa Cruz last year. Catherine Byers was, and Wormhout is the supervisor for this district, and they're also kind of close political allies. So clearly, Byers doesn't want to get involved. I think calls are also placed to Tim Fitzmaurice, Mayor Sugar, Mark Tracy, and as far as I know, none of these calls have been returned.
I also called the jail about three times last night, and I couldn't speak to the supervisor there. And asked for the supervisor to call me back, and I still have not received a call back.
Well, thank you, Becky. Anything else you want to add?
Just when people do call and make these calls, especially, you know, Sheriff Mark Tracy at 471-1170, that we're asking that Deputy Somoza be put on administrative leave pending an investigation.
Right. Also, it's kind of ironic. Somoza apparently apologized to Argue after this was over and asked if Argue would accept his apology, to which Argue replied, no, the whole world's going to hear about this, right?
That's right.
At least that's the report we got by phone from Ben, who spoke to Steve directly yesterday.
Yeah, Steve is he doesn't have a compromising bone in his body. He really has the courage of his convictions.
I got to go, Becky.
And he doesn't give it up.
Thank you for the report.
Okay.
Alrighty. And sorry to rush everybody along here. I am, of course, as usual, an hour behind schedule. I've been promising for the last two shows to play the complete version of Mayor Sugar's attack outside city council chambers on Phil Bear, Scott Graham, and Roxana Kistapache, among a few of the people who were angrily demanding that he come forward publicly and stop the eviction of the Dolphin Lee people, the Hispanic population that is going to be evicted under Catherine Byer's new affordable housing, but affordable for whom, plan in the Beach Flats. I guess also being pushed by people like Andy Schiffer and Bernice Belton and others who should know better but apparently don't. By the way, any of those people I name or anyone else is welcome to call in. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 FM. Call-in number 427-3772. This is the project which was kind of predated the Beach South of Laurel plan, but was part of, generated by the same elitist backroom staff that seems to be putting together plans that evict people without any communication with, input from, or desire from the residents involved, or even the community that it's happening in. They have their own plans, they proceed with them, and unfortunately Mayor Sugar seems to be rolling right along, although he's claiming endlessly that he won't allow these people to be evicted. We talked last show to Scott Graham, and Scott pointed out, he's an activist who's been following the Beach Flats brouhaha for a long time, that there's no way to stop people from getting evicted once this program gets rolling, that federal funding will not be available for illegal immigrants, federal funding will not be available for people who are, if there's any federal money involved, the whole program, you can't guarantee the people you evict will be the people who come back in, because the program will then be open to everybody in the country with certain eligibility criterion. That even if Sugar was able, Sugar has said, and he's making much of his public promise that, oh, I won't evict anybody, I'll help pass an ordinance that guarantees that people won't get evicted, and we already pointed out why that won't work, but even if there's no guarantee he can pass such an ordinance because he doesn't have the votes. What he needs to do is stand up now against the entire project in order to push for a project that really allows for affordable housing, that takes over Canfield's property, that eminent domain's the stuff that Charlie Canfield has, but the city council hasn't got the guts to go up against Charlie Canfield. Instead, they're picking on the Dolphin Lee project. These are the same people that actually helped the city council majority now get into power by stripping bare the real face of the Beach South of Laurel plan, which was millions of dollars for Canfield's amusement park and a redevelopment nightmare. Now they're paying the price of having gone public with this issue, and these people in the Dolphin Lee project, the Dolphin Lee apartments, are going to be evicted with the lie that they are going to get affordable housing. We're now going to play that. What happened at City Council meeting on Tuesday, as we heard discussed last program, was that Mayor Sugar refused to answer. The questions were around a somewhat technical issue of a project advisory committee, which is required by federal law to make sure that residents are involved in these decisions where there's going to be some impact on low-income housing. Sugar cited a loophole that said this didn't have to be done, and instead there would be an advisory committee composed only of Mercy Housing-type appointees, the people who are pushing the project. So the people who are pushing the project would determine the group that kind of monitors and oversees the project. Preposterous, of course. This enraged people in the audience. Phil Bear was actually thrown out of the room in the order of the mayor. And you're hearing now some of the conversation that happened after this outside when Sugar stood essentially in a damage control posture, arguing about the issue, as he did again apparently a few days ago at a secret meeting with his constituents, those of us who are real critics. There were some real critics in the meeting, but most of us were excluded. I'm going to play this tape now. We're going to talk about it next time on the air because I have promised we're going to put it on, and I think we should do it. And so I'm going to do it now. I think we have it in here, and we're going to go. It starts about 5 minutes in. I'm going to identify Keith Sugar's voice so you'll be able to know who the mayor is, for those of you who don't. The other voices are those of Scott Graham and Phil Bear, Beach Flats activists, Roxana Kistapache, who is also a hunger faster for this against the sleeping ban, and there are other folks, too. But check it out, and we'll discuss it more next Thursday from 6 to 8.
Developer to organize the public participation process and say that you're doing anything but telling the fox to guard the chicken house.
First of all, it's a nonprofit developer, which makes a big difference with me, Phil. It makes a big difference.
Are
that
you that naive, or are you just pretending to be
naive? I guess I'm that naive.
Yeah, really.
Really.
I'm sorry.
Non-profit.
This is Catholic Church is
if you
the richest
see
the,
what Mercy's setting up is a sham. I don't
wait
understand
Wait a second.
That.
Hold on a second. Why, do you guys, wait, well, let me ask a question. Do you guys object to the project?
Yes.
Or do
yes.
you object to the developer?
Yes.
I would suggest that you object to the project, and so regardless of who the developer would be, I like that, regardless of who the developer would be, you'd be raising the same objections.
If you opened
yes.
this up to a competitive bidding process to see who the developer would be, I would be greatly
impressed.
You would
still
Phil, you're full of it. You'd still be totally opposed. Thank
Why
you.
Why you handed
Sam,
over to a sole source thing like this?
Honest about it.
Oh, yeah.
It's
I,
not
I am
us
very
that
skeptical
handed it over
about
to the sole
it, but I'm skeptical
thing,
about any process that just goes directly to your chummy.
Council. We can pull the whole thing back, go back to square one, and lose all this time. Lose a whole year of work. Is that what you want?
You put a whole year of work trying to get some public support, and you've got zero public support. I call it a failed year.
I think what we really disagree on is you don't believe that people that are living under substandard conditions. I do. And
how
I'm not going to protect...
And why isn't
why
the Department of Building Inspections confirm your appraisal?
Plenty of people going out there and looking at the fact that there's substandard conditions.
Almost every rental that I looked at this past summer was substandard. Everyone, everywhere in this town. So don't use that as an excuse.
And if it's substandard, why don't you call Richard?
We've been using some of those substandard facilities as a part of another of the same project.
I want to ask you
That's what I don't understand what you're saying.
If it's substandard, tell Richard Schubendorf. He'll be on it like flies on shit.
Roxanne is talking, Phil.
You've been saying for a year now that there's no project. You told us in the Beach Flats trailer, when every resident there asked about the Dolphin Lee project, you said you never heard of such a thing. There wasn't any such thing.
No, I heard of the Dolphin Lee at that point, and they didn't say that.
You both said that,
no,
that there was no such thing. Phil, am I telling the truth?
That's revisionist.
If the buildings are substandard, there is a process. You tell Richard Steubendorf, he'll be on it tomorrow, and they'll be red-tagged.
It's your opinion that the Dolphin Lee... Is suitable housing for
yes.
people to raise their...
Totally
hold on. I got a question for you. Are you telling me that the Dolphin Lee is
not substandard?
Hold on.
Yes.
Is an appropriate place to raise kids?
Yes.
I'm saying
okay.
it's the only place in this town where those particular human beings who are able to live. And if you take that from them, they'll be out of this town.
That's what we disagree on,
Phil. It's better than a dump in Tijuana where there's people raising their kids right now, Keith. Some of these people came from dumps in Mexico City.
So you're saying something
and
a notch above a dumpster is okay?
It's
I disagree.
Not a notch above a dumpster.
Saying,
you have no first-hand information about those housing conditions.
I've got first-hand information from the city. I've got first-hand information from tenants.
You don't have it from Richard Steubendorf.
I've got information from tenants that were afraid to come forward. I've got all kinds of information indicating that it is not an appropriate place.
Is that where you ask them if they'd like better housing?
First meeting at Beach Flats.
Why isn't Steubendorf
on
it? He's the man.
At time so I can.
This is a building inspection issue. If there's substandard conditions, the process has to do with the Department of Building Inspections, Linda Garner, Target Code Enforcement Officer, Richard Steubendorf. That's how you approach it. Those folks don't have any problems with that housing.
Right.
You're saying that you have higher standards than your own Department of Building Inspections?
Phil, I'll talk to them. I'll talk to the building inspectors and ask them about that.
Well, isn't it a little late to be doing that? You've already labeled the whole thing as slumlords renting out substandard housing.
It is substandard because you don't necessarily, you don't have authority to close down a project simply because the conditions aren't suitable. All right, there's a very rigid. No. I am still saying substandard.
If it's substandard, you have authority.
You're saying these people aren't entitled to a better place to live until they're in the dumpster.
No, I'm saying if it's substandard, you do have the authority to shut it down.
No.
And you would have if it had been substandard. Linda Garner is on that neighborhood like glue. If there was substandard housing conditions, as the law identifies substandard housing conditions, she would have been on it. You're opposing some sort of middle-class jivey, three-quarter acre plot. Yeah,
yes.
Right. You're not talking about the legal definition of substandard. You're not talking about a viable opportunity for replacement housing for these people.
Yeah,
this
talking
is the
about
only
the legal definition of substandard. There's a different definition for when you're violating 1942 of the Civil Code, which provides for the basic thing that a house has to have, and it's a different level at which the city will shut it down. The city cannot shut it down if it's simply violating 1942. There have to be other criteria. Let me finish, Phil. Let me finish.
You used the term substandard.
I'm using the state's definition of substandard. Go and read Civil Code Section 1942.
I
and Civil Code Section 1942 specifies when a building is substandard.
Yeah.
That is, you have to go even lower for the building department to shut it down. So you're using a bunch of doublespeak and your own gobbledygook to thwart our efforts to get these people out of a bad situation.
You can shut the thing down or you can't. If you can, do. If you can't, stop rattling the saber.
So we should shut it down and kick these people out into the streets before we have a relocation advisory committee that is going to be set up to ensure these people get a place during the construction of the project.
And you're telling me that you're going to assure that those people get replacement housing permanently affordable before this project began.
Way. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Well, that's a lie.
Roxanne, I can say that, you know, Roxanne, you're the mastermind of lies. When you go up there and spread all of this misinformation, don't give me this gobbledygook about lies, Roxanne.
Right.
You know, you couldn't shoot straight if your life depended on it.
Oh, really, Keith?
Yeah, really,
and
Roxanne.
You're Cupid's little quiver.
No, and you're just a little angel yourself flittering about.
The person who judges what is substandard and yet won't follow the legally approved process for addressing those conditions.
There is no legally approved
with your superior intellect
and
say
by 1942,
they are substandard.
Section 1942.
Yes.
Read it. That's what the problem with Gottdolphin Lee is.
What?
I'm not going to quote it. I can't quote it.
What is the problem?
Okay. Because I can't.
No, paraphrase it. Paraphrase it.
Okay, it's got to have... Yeah, it's...
No, give the man a chance.
No,
if there's something here, spill it.
Teach us, Keith.
If you're not going to give me...
Let him say. If there's something here, say it.
1942 provides that you've got to have adequate plumbing, adequate electricity, adequate lighting, adequate heating, adequate windows, adequate weather stripping, adequate weatherproofing, and a whole list of other discreetly specified criteria. Okay.
Or what?
And people have... Or the people in the place can sue the landlord to retain some rent or to repair and fix it at the landlord's expense.
Okay.
It confers utterly no jurisdiction on any agency to step in. It's remediable only before the court. Okay.
So you're doing for those people what they refuse to do for themselves.
Or what they're too disenfranchised to do, yes.
Keith, I want to ask you something. I've been interviewing the tenants of the Dolphin Lee. None of them are paying over
30%. Roxanne, none of them are going to talk to you because you're so belligerent. You can't get an honest read from these people.
I'm part of the neighborhood.
I'm sorry, Roxanne.
They volunteered. They didn't have to talk to me.
They're afraid that you're the landlord's representative.
Keith, you're...
And you certainly come across that way.
This is a bald-faced lie.
You certainly come across that way, Roxanne.
No, those people volunteered.
You stop lying and tell me what
you're interested in. They volunteered, and I want to tell you something. They're not paying over the people who wanted to talk to me. I said, I'm writing a newspaper article, and this is my number, and they came
to me. Give me the names
of
people who volunteered.
So I just want to tell you something.
How many people came up to you to volunteer?
Let me finish what I'm saying.
You don't let me finish.
They did not.
Who are the people?
They didn't spend.
Who are the people that came up to you?
They're sharing apartments.
We have lots of public meetings, and we got lots of
support. They're sharing apartments that cost $425 a month. They earn minimum wage from all of the big employers. They send home money to Mexico because they live there.
You and the landlord have probably scared the crap out of everybody to the point where they don't want to come forward on their own behalf.
You're just
another example of Keith Sugar listening to the public.
A bunch of people came from the Dolphin and the Lee Project. Tim stood up there and said there is no Dolphin Lee Project. The second meeting held in Beach Flats, nobody was there. None of the people from the Dolphin or the Lee were there
because
they were told there is no Dolphin Lee Project. And all of a sudden...
There's not going to be a Dolphin Lee Project.
All of a sudden, they're holding a meeting with no people there.
Hold on, hold on.
Becky has it on videotape.
There's not going to be a Dolphin Lee Project, and I've said this on the dais. There's not going to be a Dolphin Lee Project until there is some place for each and every person that is currently in that development to go. An identified, secured place that is going to be a hell of a lot better than where they're living now for them to go during the construction. After the construction, they go back in. There is no Dolphin Lee Project that I will vote
for.
There is no Dolphin Lee Project that I'm going
to
vote for, and I'm only repeating what I've said before. There is no Dolphin Lee Project I'm going to vote for until all of that is the case. In writing and voted on. All right.
The place where the project is being built, and then they get to move. You're saying that every let's be clear. Every resident of the Dolphin and Lee gets to move back into the new
housing. You're just not listening because I've said this throughout the process, and I said it about 2 months ago.
Am I quoting you correctly? I just want to make sure we're speaking the same language. You're saying that every person now living in the Dolphin and Lee is going to be able to move into the newly constructed apartments.
Yeah, I want assurances of that, or else I'm not voting for it. And this is something that, if you chose to listen, that I have been saying from the get-go.
assurances of that. So what's the sequence of events that prevents them from saying they're going to do that? The project gets built. You approve the project gets built, but then it doesn't happen.
Right. It's got to be done in an ordinance. If the city doesn't do it, they're in violation of the ordinance, and you or Roxanne or whoever can sue the city, get a writ of mandate.
Well, why wouldn't that ordinance be like first order of business?
I'm not saying you should sue the city. You just asked me what safeguards there are. The safeguards are that the city can't violate its own ordinances.
Well, what's to prevent you from passing that ordinance before, now? How late do we have to wait for that to happen?
You have to wait until we figure out where we're going to put the people and how we're going to ensure, by ordinance, that they go back in. I'm not going to vote for a project until that is done.
You didn't even assign anybody the duty of voting for the project.
You've already let it go so far. It doesn't matter what you did. That's not true.
That's
absolutely not true.
There's already four votes for this project, no matter what it looks like.
Put your ordinance together now.
That's not my fault. All I can do is try to convince them. Hold on. All I can do is try to convince them. The other council members.
It's your fault for not standing with us like we expected you to.
No, you know what? That's a crock because your interests, my dear, are not the interests of the progressivist community. You're coming from this
You don't have any interest.
The point is...
Don't waste your sympathy on me. You're the one that's going to need sympathy.
The point of the matter is...
I'm in shock. Yeah, you're treating your fucking public this way,
Kate.
Oh, sure,
the people that voted for him and Watts is sick.
Well, I'm sorry.
You know what? Where did you vote instead of trying to get you into office for this? I'm disgusted with you. I'm kind of disgusted with you too.
I haven't been around for four fucking months. You've got nothing to back that up. I haven't come around because the city council is a waste of my time.
Well, just the fact that you would say that shows that you're not
Keith?
What you just said.
What did I just say, Keith? What part do you remember? What did I say? Let's hear your active listening skills.
Okay, why don't you repeat it so that you can have... No. Show me that you even have an idea of what you said.
What did you say, Keith?
What did you say?
What are you afraid of,
Keith? What are you afraid of?
You don't listen, Keith.
Look, all you're interested in is blowing your own horn. I'm trying to fix a situation.
I've never gone in oral communication, so that's bullshit. I don't get up and blow my own horn. I'm blowing because I'm sitting here listening to you berate the people who put you in office and who you're supposed to be serving. You're sitting here calling this woman names. And is that what we elected you for?
I'm questioning her motives.
No, you're calling her names.
What are her questionable motives?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
What do you imagine her questionable motives to be?
I do not see her motives as being in the interest of the people that live there. I totally don't see your...
So what investment do you have that's bigger than someone that was a resident there for a long period of time?
You weren't a resident there. You were a resident next to the project.
I was a resident of Beach Flats. When were you living there?
I'm talking about Beach Flats. I'm talking about the Dolphin League.
What is your interest that's greater than mine?
About the Dolphin League.
How dare you?
The Dolphin League on your advisory committee. You got Dominican Hospital and Holy Cross Church.
I'm glad you pointed that out. That's something we should fix.
Give us the wording of the ordinance.
I can talk to Mercy and get him to do that, and I will do that, despite the skepticism.
Yeah, okay, but more to the point would be to provide the wording of the ordinance that guarantees that the present occupants of the Dolphin Lee will be able to move into the replacement house.
I'm sorry, say that again.
What you were talking about, an ordinance that requires the city to move all the residents of the Dolphin Lee into the to-be-constructed Dolphin Lee project.
Yes.
And unfortunately, we have reached the end of Bathurst Spears Broadsides at the heat of the confrontation between Mayor Keith Sugar and that Phil Bear, Tracy DeAngelis, Roxanne, and Alicia Kistapache. Scott Graham was also there. A number of people crowded around to engage in this debate. We have a quick caller here.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Yeah, this is Lucha. That was a fantastic, great show, and I just want to make a really quick announcement if I can.
Go ahead, Lucha.
Pamela Africa speaking tonight at Kresge Town Hall at 8 p.m., Kresge College, UCSE, $5 donation. No one turned away for lack of funds. Pam is a fantastic voice for liberation.
Okay, thank you, Lucha.
Great show.
Also, Pam's going to be on from 3 to 6 on the Free Radio Santa Cruz.
That's right. Great show.
Thanks a lot, man. And thank you, Lucha. Also, we're, of course, going to be examining this in more detail. We're going to have Linda LeMaster's extensive analysis of affordable housing, a really, I think, quite brilliant interview. Not me, the interviewer, but she, the interviewee, next Thursday from 6 to 8. And we're going to play from you some earlier tape of the owner of the Dolphin, or is it of the Lee? I think it's of the Dolphin talking about the situation outside City Council in a council meeting some months or at least weeks before this brouhaha. There, we're also going to hope to have an update, and you may even be a story out in one of the papers about what's going on in the Dolphin, Lee. I understand that's in the works. And the upshot of this whole conversation with Mayor Sugar, as far as I can see it, is that Sugar, like on the sleeping ban, like in other issues, well, actually, it's the sleeping ban, and I guess the Dolphin, Lee, are my primary problems with this mayor and this new majority. They're refusing to lead and speak out, but they are supinely kind of following behind Catherine Byers, who is doing this whole number, keeping the sleeping ban, evicting the Dolphin, Lee folks. And the pretext here is that somehow these people are going to get affordable housing. And the last thing you heard on that tape, and you're going to hear more on Thursday, is that they're going to try to get Sugar to support an ordinance guaranteeing affordable housing. But we're going to have Phil Baer hopefully talking on Thursday, the man who asked the question and requested the ordinance, to show you that there is no way of guaranteeing that affordable housing, even if Sugar proposes such an ordinance, as he may well do. He's promised to do so, and it's going to be completely untimely. That ordinance should start at the very beginning of the project to see if there is such a thing available, and if not, why waste your time on the project? The problem that they had was all they had was this Dolphin Lee plan on the shelf by their favored housing provider, Mercy Housing. And they whipped it through because they didn't have anything else available to catch federal funding. So what's happening is the lives of hundreds of Hispanic people are going to be sacrificed on the altar of this grant of federal money that Catherine Byers and the City Council wanted to get so they could tell their, quote, affordable housing supporters on scan that they are doing something around the issue. And this was a fatal misjudgment that, unfortunately, Sugar is still not criticizing, is still not standing up and responding to. I understand at a secret meeting, as I mentioned, that he had last week, some days after this council meeting, he agreed he would look at the issue of whether there's a whole scam around the issue of this Project Advisory Committee, whether the Project Advisory Committee is some company union-type in-house group that's not going to be critical at all. And that's going to be looked at. But the real question is, will he stand up and say, don't mess around with a Dolphin Lee project that's going to evict hundreds of people unless, you know, when you have other opportunities that can build additional affordable housing that won't evict anybody, but that requires some hard dealing with Charlie Canfield. That's what Sugar should be doing, and he's not. And I think it's up to us, the community, to make him do it. I'm going to leave a little early here so the little red hens will be able to hen it up here at their next show and get the kids around the radio, because this is a program for young and old alike, but particularly for the young. Bathrop Spears Broadsides will be returning on Thursday at 6 o'clock in the evening. And if you want information between programs, 423-HUFF is the number to call. Remind you also that on Wednesday there will be a press conference at noon at City Hall around the Sleeping Ban Repeal Initiative, the new initiative to decriminalize sleeping and set up safe sleeping zones. And if you're interested in coming to the San Jose protest, give a call to 423-HUFF. We're going to be running a caravan from the city, from the town clock downtown City Santa Cruz on February 8th, probably around 4:30. Also tomorrow at the Homeless Services Center, want to see what's happening with San Jose, what happened at the arrest, want to see your favorite talk show host or your most hated talk show host, Bathrop's Pierre Robert, that's me, get arrested. Hey, you can check it out. You watch me get dragged away by the gendarmes, as well as 14 others. And some pretty eloquent speaking there by a lot of people, not me much, but a lot of other people. So that's happening tomorrow at the Homeless Services Center at 11 o'clock, 115 Coral Street, free. Popcorn will be provided. Come on down. And it looks like we're leaving early. Thanks for being with us.
49, St. George's Hill.